Amen, Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. That's a good song for this sermon this morning. It's so good to see you this morning. I'm happy to be here with you and to see your smiling faces. And also to know that you are smiling beneath your mask as well. And it's great. It's great to be able to come and worship with you. And I'm thankful to be able to come and give a sermon this morning as well. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Paul Hudson, and I'm standing in for Pastor Brian while he's still out on his vacation. And I'm the youth director and also the modern worship director in the 9:30 service. So I get to bring the sermon this morning, so I'm excited about that. We are progressing through the book of Exodus, and the story for this morning is the first part of the Israelites' journey after their escape from Egypt, starting from Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, to chapter 17, verse 16, and then we'll fly over to chapter 18 and take a look at verses 5 to 11. And I'll read parts of the passage, but I'll paraphrase most of it. And I have broken this section of Exodus into four episodes and a final response. And before we read the scripture, though, let me quickly review the bigger picture of what is going on for the Israelites here in this story. So at this point in the story, they are traveling slowly through the desert wilderness as Moses leads them. But the bigger picture is this: God himself has miraculously set them free from their slavery, and he is actively leading them to a home that he has prepared for them according to his promise. So that's the bigger picture. I want us to keep that in our minds. God himself has miraculously set the Israelites free from their slavery, and he is actively leading them to a home that he has prepared for them according to his promise. God has promised a home that they can call their own, a home of beauty and abundance. Scripture says it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a place of their freedom and rest. But before they can enter that promised home, they must follow the Lord on a journey that will test their faith and their trust in God. That journey and every stop along the way is being dynamically and actively led by God all the way to the final destination of freedom and rest. So remember this bigger picture. God has set them free, and he's leading them to their home while he tests their faithfulness to him, and he seeks to bless them along the way as well. So let's get into the scripture this morning. This is Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 27, the word of the Lord to you and me this morning. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days, they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. And that is why the place is called Marah. Marah means bitter in Hebrew. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it in the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this word. Thank you for your passage of your word to us this morning, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would open our eyes and help our hearts to hear and to know and to understand, and just to dive deep into our relationship with you this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, we commit this time to you. I commit this message to you, Lord. And I thank you for each and every one here who is listening. And I pray that you will bless them through these words, Lord, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. So this passage is the first of three grumbling episodes in the early part of the Israelites' journey to their promised home. And the Israelites were just days removed from their miraculous delivery from the Egyptian army at the Red Sea, and that was last week's sermon. And the Lord led them into a dry desert where they could only find bitter water after 3 days of finding none. So the people grumbled against Moses. And I can imagine they were yelling at Moses, "Bitter water? You brought us to bitter water? We've walked for days in this hot desert hell, and all we get is this bitter water? Grumble, grumble, Moses. Bitter water, Moses." So let me ask you, right from the start, right here, how many of you have had your fair share of bitter water? In your journey with God, how many of you have had your fair share of bitter water? I sure have. And some of us right now are holding a cup of bitter water. And the pungent odor of it sticks to the nose, and we're thinking, oh, what I would give for just a taste of that sweet, sweet water that I had before. And some of you aren't holding a cup of bitter water. You're actually standing in front of a lake of bitter water after a long, hard journey, and you're thinking, I can't take this anymore. Lord, did you bring me to this bitterness? What are you thinking, Lord? Grumble, grumble, Moses. If that sounds like your life right now, and probably a lot of us actually have good reason to grumble. But if that's you, think about this story and the bigger picture. The bigger picture for the Israelites was that God has set them free from their slavery in Egypt, and he's actively leading them to their home. That's the bigger picture. What's the bigger picture for you and me? The bigger picture for us is God has set us free. Pretty similar. And he is leading us to our home. Right? Jesus has set us free. And he is leading us to our home. And that is the bigger picture for us. So keep that in your mind as we come to our part, you know, points in our life where we are holding, we're looking at that bitter water and we're just like, Lord, what is this? I can't drink this. Come on. So in response to the grumbling, Moses cried out to God, and the Lord told him to throw a piece of wood in the water, and the water became sweet for the people to drink. Interesting story. Then the Lord issued a ruling for the people to test them, saying, if you listen carefully to all I say, and if you do what is right in my eyes, I will protect you from the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am your healer. And then the Lord graciously responds even further and leads them to a beautiful but temporary oasis in the desert where there's 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. And maybe that's you. Maybe you aren't holding a cup of bitter water. You don't know what the bitter water is all about. Or maybe you've already passed that and you're like, yeah, that's me. I'm in the oasis right now. Thank God the bitter water is behind me. And this is where I'm at. I'm at the oasis. And I don't want to ever leave. Well, an oasis is a temporary stop in the journey. The Lord actually has more that he wants to show you. So don't be afraid to step out from your oasis if the Lord is guiding you out from that oasis. In the meantime, though, enjoy it. Enjoy the 70 palm trees and the 12 springs of water. And there's reasons why the Lord brings us to places like that. And it's amazing. But when he leads us out of it, don't go, nope, I'm not leaving, Lord. Be willing to step out with him. Okay, so before we move on to the second episode, we need to apply a couple things to our own journey with God from this awesome example. In this life, the Lord will test our faithfulness to him, and he will test our loyalty to him, and he will test our trust in him. And we need to be careful to understand that this testing is not about earning our salvation. Not about earning our salvation. Jesus has saved us already. He brought us through the Passover. Talked about that a few weeks ago. And has promised a home with him, a home he is actively leading us to. That's the bigger picture of our journey. I said it a couple times already, and it's sealed with a promise by the blood of Jesus. However, the testing that the Lord puts us through is all about our growth in faithfulness, our growth in our relationship with the Lord, our growth in our faithfulness to him, and the healing and the blessings that come with a faithful relationship with God. That's what this testing is about. And as we pass through the tests and put our trust in the Lord, our faith grows. We experience healing, and the Lord blesses us, and we can see that blessing. But if we trust in ourselves or something else and not the Lord, our faith shrinks. Our relationship with the Lord suffers. Wounds fester. And we strive to see his blessing. We can't see his blessing. But the Lord never withholds his grace and his presence. His saving grace and his presence is there for us always, and his love never fails. But we need to get that into our mind when we face these tests. So when he leads you to bitter waters, remember the bigger picture. Remember the bigger picture of what's going on. And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 14. It links to this story. Whoever drinks from the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The bitter water is there. It's really there to turn your face toward the water that never runs dry. That's what the bitter water is there for. It's there to turn your face to the water that never runs dry, to Jesus, the water of life. So come to that sweet water of life, Jesus, and never thirst again. Amen? Never thirst again. The second grumbling episode is in Exodus 16, 1 to 36. So you probably figured out I'm just taking care of each of these episodes one by one. And so we'll go straight to application with the episode, and we'll go right into ministry. and so that's how the pattern's going to be for this sermon. So here's the second grumbling episode. Exodus 16, 1 to 36. A couple months after the Exodus from Egypt, the Lord leads the Israelites away from the temporary oasis. The Lord leads them, that's exactly what it says, and into the desert of Sin. No coincidence there. This time the food has become scarce, and the people grumble against Moses and Aaron, saying, "It would have been better if we had just died in Egypt. We had all the food we wanted, pots of meat, leeks and onions. Now we're starving, Moses, and you did it." Grumble, grumble, Moses. You'll say that with me pretty soon. But take a note of this. The Israelites completely misremember their slavery. When they were in Egypt, they completely misremember it, and they mistake their former life for good times of abundance and satisfaction. And it's like an old addiction that refuses to die. That former life dangles at the front of their mind, saying, "Come on back, old friend. You remember how good it feels here, don't you? Come back. Come on." How many agree that old addictions are the hardest to get rid of? They're the hardest to get past. Do you agree? Like the Israelites, when we begin our journey with the Lord, and we find that we've been set free from that old life of slavery, in no time, those former addictions rise back up to tantalize us, dangle in front of our eyes, and the former sins pull at us, and we forget how much those addictions enslaved us, wounded us, and made our life a living hell. We completely forget, just like the Israelites, misremember our past slavery. Well, in this journey by design, the Lord brings us to a place in the desert where our soul begins to hunger, and we are faced with the reality of that deep hunger inside. And our carnal reaction, our natural reaction, is to reach back for whatever filled our emptiness before. It's a natural carnal reaction, and it could be a sexual fling or an alcoholic binge. It could be overeating, or an occupation that takes all of your time and mind away from the reality that you're faced with right now. in whatever old addictions that you're dealing with right now, in this journey, remember the bigger picture. Think about the bigger picture here. God is the one who has led you to that place. Yes, he has. With those where those familiar hungers have risen up. And he brought you there to show you that his food is the only food that truly satisfies. So remember the bigger picture of what God is doing. And what is the bigger picture? Let's say this together. God has set me free, and he is leading me to my home. Can we say that? God has set me free, and he is leading me to my home. When you're dealing with those things, say that to yourself. God has set me free, and he is leading me to my home. His healing is here for you right now, even in this very moment, if you step toward him. And I know the reason you're here is because you're stepping toward him. So I pray for God's healing upon every single one of you right now that are dealing with different things in your life where you need his touch to come, and you need that specific touch of healing from God. I pray that it'll come to you right now in this very moment. So don't let that old life and the addictions that God has already set you free from return to enslave you again. Trust in God and move on with him. Amen? So in response to the Israelites' grumbling, the Lord rained down sweet bread from heaven. We're back to the scripture again, this episode. And the sweet bread from heaven came in the morning, and then the Lord sent quail for meat in the evening. And this was on a daily basis for 6 days out of the week. And the Lord said to gather only what you need for the day and do not store any of it up for the next day except for on the sixth day. So on the sixth day, there's going to be a double portion for you. Gather up enough for 2 days so that you can rest on the seventh day. On the seventh day, there will be no manna and no quail. So it's a little bit complicated. So they had 6 days out of the week that they were to go and gather once a day, or actually twice a day, manna in the morning, and then the quail for meat in the evening. And they only gathered up what they needed for that specific day for 6 days. And then the sixth day, though, they would, I guess it would be 5 days. So on the sixth day, they would gather a double portion, and so that they could rest on the seventh day. And so we need to take note of this daily provision, okay? The daily provision, it highlights our daily dependence on God and the importance of a weekly Sabbath rest. But I believe this also is a response to the Israelites' short-sightedness and their hunger for what satisfied them in the past. I really believe that this is God's response to the Israelites' short-sightedness and also to their hunger for what they were looking for, what they thought satisfied them in the past. They were blind to the big picture of God bringing them out of slavery to the promised land. And they could only see what was immediately in front of them at that moment, which was the immediate hunger and the false memories of satisfaction in Egypt. It's the same way with us when we fall to our temptations. The moment of their hunger blinded them to the bigger picture of God's provision, and it deceived them into thinking the former life was better. So God responds to their short-sightedness by forcing them to gather food for just 1 day at a time. Do you see that? 1 day at a time. With a double portion on the sixth day so that they may have a Sabbath rest on the seventh. So the seventh day of rest, this was a gracious provision that the Israelites did not enjoy as slaves in Egypt. They didn't have a seventh day of rest. It was nothing but labor, hard work. And so this was done to teach them that they must depend on the Lord every day for the food that truly satisfies. And the seventh day of rest reinstated that hampered memory of the harsh reality of their slavery, where they had no rest at all. You see what God was doing there? One final note before we move to the third episode. Some of the Israelites still did not fully trust in the Lord, and they did not fully listen. They tried to go out on the seventh day when there was no food from heaven, or they would store up for the next day when they weren't supposed to. And what this is indifference to the word of the Lord. And this shows a lack of commitment, a lack of loyalty to the Lord. So my friends, when the Lord brings you into that place of hunger where your addictions rise up, and he says to you, come to me today, and I will fill you for today, but only for today, because you need to come to me tomorrow again, and the next day, and the next day. So I'm going to only fill you for today. When he says that, you will be tempted to indifference. You'll be tempted to say, oh, once a week's enough. I've read my Bible a little bit. I prayed, you know, today, and I think that's good enough for a couple days. Or you might say, okay, but you know, here's this temptation. You'll be tempted to indifference. And indifference will keep you stuck in the chains of the past. It will keep you stuck in the chains of the past. That's what indifference is all about. So don't become indifferent to his word. When the Lord is drawing you, commit yourself to his daily bread, and you'll soon find the rest and the healing that you need week after week after week. It will come. I can guarantee it. I believe it with all my heart. Jesus said in John 6, verse 51, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus is our daily bread, and he's the one in whom we find rest and healing from the afflictions, from the afflictions of our past addictions. Sinful habits are broken by a daily dose of Jesus. You believe that? Sinful habits are broken by a daily dose of Jesus. I've experienced this in my own life myself. All right, the third episode of grumbling is Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7. And here the Israelites went from place to place as the Lord led. And the Lord brought them to a place where there was no water at all. Well, can you guess what happens? Can you say it? Grumble, grumble, Moses. That's right. Grumble, grumble, Moses. This time they not only grumbled, but they began to fight with Moses, and they were ready to pick up stones and stone him to death. And by doing this, the scripture says that they tested the Lord. So stoning a leader is, obviously, it's a rejection of leadership. And so they were testing God by not, first of all, first not trusting in his provision, and also by rejecting Moses, God's chosen leader. So again, they lost sight of the bigger picture. And the Lord responded by telling Moses to take his staff, which is the same one he used to strike the plagues on Egypt, which we learned about if you listened to the previous sermons, and to take that staff and strike the rock at Horeb. And when he struck the rock with his staff, water came out for the people to drink. It's a miracle. All these episodes have miracles in them. So the same staff that Moses used to strike the Nile and turn it to blood was used to strike fresh, pure water from a rock for the thirsty Israelites. And God did this to show them that he is indeed the all-powerful God who is for them, with them, and not against them. He is all-powerful and nothing like the gods of the Egyptians, nothing like the gods of Egypt. And what the Lord uses to bring destruction, he can also use to bring healing and wholeness. I'll say that again. What the Lord uses to bring destruction, he can also use to bring healing and wholeness. When we face the truth, sometimes it can be incredibly painful, right? But the truth can bring such healing and such wholeness. And the Bible says that, you know, that I've come to the truth, that you may have the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth sets us free. What God uses to bring destruction, pain, hardship, he can also use to bring healing and wholeness. That which struck you in the past and brought you to your knees with such pain, God can use to bring you to a place of wholeness and dependence upon him by his son, Jesus. Amen. Do you believe that? So come to Jesus who was struck and bled that you might be healed. Come to him. So we've talked about being in a dry place with bitter waters and about being in a place of hunger where our sinful addictions rise up. And we've seen how Jesus is the water of life and our daily bread, and that he is the one who can make our bitter lives sweet again. And we've seen how Jesus is the one who breaks our sinful habits through a daily dose of his presence. And now we see the rock that was struck so that God's people could live in a dry place without water. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 4, there's a great reference to this. You can read the whole chapter if you want. The Apostle Paul preaches a sermon on this very passage that we're looking at this morning. The Apostle Paul describes who was really with the Israelites in their journey through the desert. So who was really with him? They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. This is from the scripture. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. So this passage in 1 Corinthians 10 states that this story of the Exodus and all of these things that happened to the Israelites were examples and warnings for us in the last days to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things. In verses 9 to 10, it says, "Do not test Christ as they did, and do not grumble as they did." And I want to highlight this part, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 to 13. And this is for those of us who right now feel like we're in that oasis. We are in an oasis right now. "If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall," the Apostle Paul lovingly says. "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way so that you can endure it. And that brings us to the fourth episode in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. And this episode is the battle against the Amalekites. And this is a pretty odd story, but it's a perfect fourth episode in this journey. So during this battle in which the Amalekites were the ones who came and attacked the Israelites, Moses went up to a nearby hill, to the top of the hill, with the staff of God, as it is called in the scripture, in his hand. And for as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the enemy was winning. And Moses soon grew too tired to hold his hands up, so he sat down on a rock, and Aaron and Hur came alongside him to either side and held his hands up until sunset. And as a result, Joshua and the Israelites defeated the Amalekite army. And in response to what the Lord did, Moses built an altar right there and named it, "The Lord is my banner." So in other words, Moses worshiped God and proclaimed, "The Lord is my victory." So the late theologian R. Alan Cole states that the most common interpretation of Moses raising his hands is that it refers to prayer. And I like this interpretation, and I believe that that's the proper interpretation. Could mean other things, but I like this one. So lifting up the hands refers to dependence on God through the battle. To lower the hands signifies ceasing to pray and thus ceasing to depend on God. But Moses became too tired to continue his intercession, and he needed others to come alongside him to help carry his burden. So my friends, we cannot engage battles on our own. We can't engage battles on our own. God has designed our journey to include battles that can only be won with the help of others who come alongside us, who lift us up in intercession, encourage us to persevere, who bear our burdens alongside us. This is how our journey was designed. It's how it was designed. And with that, we need to open up and let our personal prayer battles be made known to others so that they can know how to help us pray. We need to be able to open up to each other and to those people around us who we can trust so that they can know how they can pray for us. So when you come to your prayer meeting, your group, and somebody asks, you know, does anybody have any prayer requests? And you know, you might say, oh, well, my brother needs prayer, and my distant uncle who lives in Arizona needs prayer, and also my aunt who's in Cambodia right now also needs prayer. And that's great. We need to pray for, you know, for our friends and our family and people around us who we have a burden for. But usually, I know from experience as a leader, when I ask, you know, is there anybody who has a prayer request? I want to pray for you. I want to hear what's going on in your life. And yeah, I want to pray for other people too. But I want to pray for you. And I want to know, how can I come alongside you and be like Aaron or her in this story and lift up your hands so that you can persevere in that battle and be one of those who comes alongside and says, I'm here to pray for you, and I'm here to walk with you and to be alongside you. So let me know. Let me know what's going on in your life. If we never open up to each other, we'll soon grow too tired in the battle. And we will eventually lower our hands and stop praying. I can guarantee it. If we grow too tired in the battle, we'll lower our hands and stop praying. And there's only one more step out the church door from there. And so many people have left the church because, you know, they grew too tired and there wasn't anybody to come alongside them, or they didn't open themselves up and they walked out of the church. So as soon as we stop praying, the enemy starts winning. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're tracking completely with me. For others, it's a learning process, and it's hard, and it's stepping out of comfort zones, and it's trying to, you know, to build that faith and to realize that, yeah, this is true. But I want to encourage you to open up and allow yourself to be vulnerable to the people around you that you can trust, the people that you can trust, just as Moses was vulnerable and, you know, was clearly in need of help from the people that he trusted who were alongside him, helping him in the journey. When you are exhausted and ready to quit, seek the help of those who can come alongside you and pray with you, and never stop praying. Through prayer, the Lord will show you the way out of your temptation. He will help you through the battle, and you'll soon be able to worship the Lord and say, He is my victory. He is my victory. Amen. Finally, I want to finish with a short little response from Jethro, found in Exodus 18, verses 5 to 11. And the story of Jethro is actually really cool, but we're not going to get into the main part of the story. I just want to highlight Jethro's response. So Jethro was Moses' very wise father-in-law, and he had this cool, this pretty interesting response when Moses told him all that God had done for the Israelites up to this point. So all the miracles and the supernatural deliverances that happened in Egypt and through the Red Sea and in the desert, wanderings and everything that God had done. So he told this to Jethro, his father-in-law. And when Jethro heard this testimony of God's faithfulness and the miraculous provision, he said, "Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued also the Israelites. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods." Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. And I love this response because I truly believe that this is really what the Exodus and our journey, our own personal journey, is all about in this life. This is what underlines our journey in this life and gives eternal credibility to the bigger picture that I keep talking about, that we may come to know and believe and fully trust that the Lord is greater than all gods and He is for us. There are no other gods greater than this God. You won't find a God in yourself, in nature, in the air around you, in other religions, in all of the energies of the universe, You will not find a God that is greater than this God. You might find a God, but you'll not find a God that is greater than this God, the God of the Bible. He has set you free from your slavery and led you into every place, if you believe in Jesus, to show you that he is God and that he is for you and that there is no one like him. That's what he is doing. So no matter how bitter the water, how dry the land, how great the hunger, how fierce the battle, or how amazing the oasis, never lose sight of the bigger picture. Trust in God, remain faithful to him, press on, push away that indifference that keeps you stuck in those patterns of the past. Strengthen your commitment and your loyalty to God. Keep your hands up in prayer at all times. Come to that daily dose of Jesus. When you're too tired, call out to others and do not fear. Do not be afraid. This is a journey that may last a very, very long time through hardships and through obstacles. It's by design, but the reward is waiting for you at the end, and it is well worth the journey. So don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't lose sight of the bigger picture. You have a guaranteed home that the Lord is bringing you to. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will bring you to myself. He is bringing you, actively leading you right now to that home. So before I close in prayer, let's state the bigger picture together one last time. And we say this together, God has set me free and he's leading me to my home all together now. God has set me free and he is leading me to my home. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this word, Lord, to us. This passage, Lord Jesus, the story of the Israelites and the story of Jesus, Lord, and how these stories connect with each other, Lord. And how you were there with the Israelites throughout their whole journey, Lord. You were there. You were the one who was there to lead them, to give them water, the water that never runs dry, Lord Jesus. Lord, for each and every one of us, no matter where we are, whether we're at an oasis and where we don't want to leave, or we're sitting there in front of the bitter water, or, Lord Jesus, we're thirsting to death at a place that's so dry, or we've come to a place where that hunger for the past has risen up so strong and we don't know how to get rid of it, Lord Jesus. And we know it's not right to go back to that slavery, Lord, but we just don't know how to get past it, Lord. Help us to know, Lord. Help us to come to you and to receive that daily bread, Lord, and to drink from the water that never runs dry, Lord Jesus. Would you give that to us right now, Lord, and bring us into that place of healing, Lord. You said, I am your healer. I am the one who heals you. We rest on that promise, Lord Jesus, and we take it right now, Lord, and we come to you as your people, trusting in you, believing in you, putting our faith in you, Lord. In your precious name, Jesus, amen.